Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Wesley Memorial. That's a big welcome, whether you're in the church, visiting, or regular member, or whether you're online on Zoom, watching us from afar. You're all very welcome, and we hope you're all very comfortable. Last week, we had an appeal for all we can. If you still wanted to give, there are some envelopes around the church which you can put into the collection plate, and the collection plate will come round to pick them up, and of course, any gifts that you want to give to the church as well. There will be tea and coffee and drinks after the service, and we're very, very glad to welcome Jude Levermore, who is visiting us from the neighbouring circuit of Witney, and she managed to find her way into Oxford in a car, which was pretty good. And she is the head of mission for the Methodist Church as well. And it's a great privilege, Jude, and a great delight to welcome you to our worship this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, church. It's the first time I have worshipped with you. So if I make mistakes, I'm going to crave your forgiveness. But if I don't make mistakes, you'll just think I'm a genius, so that will be great. Yes, I managed to get here all the way from Witney, this morning. I left my usual time to get here, about 45 minutes. It took me all of 19. So I feel like I've been here a long time already. But thank you so much for having me. The theme of our service really is going to be looking at the nature of authority. But don't worry about that just yet. We'll start with some words of call to worship. And I'll say the words in the light type, and you will say the words in the darker type. I'm going to invite you to stand if you are able. With nature, in its power and beauty, with wind and rain and sunshine, with meadows and jungles and budding flowers, we praise in the praise of God. With believers and seekers the whole world wide, with people in every land, with speakers of every language, we gather in praise of God. With the angels and saints in heaven, with Wesley and all who dreamed new dreams in Oxford, with all who have worshipped in this place, we gather in praise of God. With Jesus, who promised his presence, with the Spirit, who showers her blessing, we gather in praise of God. Here, let heaven and earth embrace.
Here, may God's people find home.
We're going to stay standing and sing. We're going to sing, Let's Build a House.
Thank you.
mentioned, the theme of our service today is authority. And you'll be pleased to know we've only got one Bible reading coming later in the service. It's from Matthew's Gospel. It tells us two stories, though. One of the stories is something that happened to Jesus, and one is a story that Jesus told in response to the thing that happened to him. And often, Jesus talks about vineyards, and the story that we're going to hear about is set in a vineyard. And when Jesus is talking about the vineyard, he's talking about the world. He's talking about culture, the place where we live. And I want to start the service by reading you a poem. And it's a poem as a sort of prayer. I'm going to read it. It's about the culture. It's about the place where we live. It's by a contemporary poet who I don't think expresses a faith. His name is Brian Bilston. And the poem is called Alexa, What Is There to Know About Love? Slightly worried when I said Alexa that something would happen. So I'm just going to say it again, Alexa. No, we're all right. Okay. So here's the poem. Alexa, what is there to know about love? What is there to know about love? A glove is a garment that covers the hand for protection from the cold or dirt. And Alexa, how does the human heart work? How does the human heart work? Blood is first received from the right atrium via two veins in the vena cava superior and inferior. Alexa, where do we go when we die? Where do we go when we die? Activating Google Maps. Completed activation. Would you like to start from your current location? Alexa, what does it mean to be alone? What does it mean to be alone? 'Tis the silence left by words unsaid, the cold expanse of half a bed. It's the endless stretching of the hours and the needless tending of plastic flowers. It's an echo unanswered in a cave, the fateful ping of the microwave. It's the fraying of a worn shirt cuff and a howl. Stop, Alexa. That's enough. Lord, for the world in which we live, help us to remember as we worship in your house here this morning that we are part of that world. Amen. We're going to sing another song now, and I believe, my spies tell me, it's not one that you have sung before. It's a song from Guatemala. It's number 774 in Singing the Faith, and it's called The Peace of the Earth. And we're going to have it sung through once for us, and then we're going to join and sing it. I think that's right, Tom, isn't it? Yes. So, and you could remain seated or stand, whatever you feel comfortable. But let's sing this together.
Peace of the earth.
Okay, we're going to do an experiment now. I love an experiment. I bet there are scientists here. I thought to myself, I'm coming to Oxford. There are bound to be scientists. This is not that sort of experiment, because I'm not very good with all the, you know, things that you'd need to do. But we're going to do an experiment. And for that experiment, of course, I need some help. Anybody that's willing to help, come here, come here, come here, come here. Anybody that wants to help, I need helpers down here. Excellent. More helpers we get, the better. I like your T-shirt. When there's a children's activity in church, sometimes the adults switch off. Adults, oftentimes you learn more in the children's activity than you will when I preach, just telling you that now. So if I were you, I'd listen up to this bit. Right. First of all, just say it's really nice that there's lots of you here. I hear some of you are going to 3Generate next week. I will see you there. It's amazing. You will absolutely love it. I hope that the adults here will remember to pray for you while you're gone. Hope they remember that. It's going to be incredible. We're going to build an entire town in the NEC in Birmingham. There'll be a town hall, there'll be a theatre, there'll be... You've done it before. She's done it before, it's really good. Anyway, excellent. Right, this is an experiment. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask those people that are sitting down that didn't want to join the experiment. They have to be part of it too. I'm going to ask them to make a bit of a noise, and the noise I'm going to ask them to make is the noise of conversation, of babble. So they actually have to speak to each other, which is something that in church sometimes grown-ups don't like doing. But if you can't speak to each other in church, how on earth are you going to speak to each other outside of church and to other people? So let's try and see if they can do that. I'm going to ask them to have a conversation. And then I'm going to ask you guys to go to the back, and I'm going to give you a message that I think might be from God. And we're going to see if you get to hear it, okay? So you guys go to the back of the church. And I'd like a bit of a hubbub, please. Actual words, come on, actual conversation, you know, what did you do yesterday, how are you, what's your name, where do you come from, nice bit of conversation. You can join in as well, we need more hubbub, it could be musical hubbub if you like. Okay, right, are you ready for the message? You guys keep talking about the message. Did you get it? Did you get it? One more time.
Jesus loves you.
Did you get it? Okay. You've got it. You've got it at the back. Well done. Okay. You may all be quiet now. They don't want to, you see. This is what happens in the world. Friends, my spies also tell me that there is tea and coffee after the service. And in the tea and coffee, the conversations that you have begun may continue. Now, I was trying to get a message to my friends at the back. Friends at the back, did you hear my message?
Yeah.
They did hear my message. What was the message?
Jesus loves you.
That's right, that was the message that you got. But it was really hard for me to get that message through because of all the noise that's going on. All the noise. And that, if you take away nothing else today, take away the message that God loves you so very much. But sometimes it's really hard to hear that above the noise of everything else that's going on around us. And the noise that different people make and the noise of society sometimes drowns that out. But never forget, above all, God loves you. I also hear that you have some exciting children's activities planned today in junior church. I believe that you get breakfast. I believe that someone's coming to talk to you from the congregation about their life journey. I believe you're going to be looking at the Psalms, and there might even be music involved. I'm sorry, the rest of you that have to stay here and hear me preach. But that's what our junior church are going to be doing. And I also understand that there's a way that we send our junior church out in this fantastic place. And it's by the words that are on the screen. So we, the congregation, say the first words. Are you ready? The Lord be with you. Fabulous. Off you go, junior church. Your junior church includes a dog. That's so cool. That's very cool. We're going to continue our service now with a prayer of confession, and the prayers and the words will be on the screen. So let's just be quiet and think of the times when maybe this week we've not quite lived up to the things that we know God has for us. Let's pray. God of mercy, hear us as we confess our sins. For the sin that's made us slow to learn from Christ, reluctant to follow him, and afraid to bear the cross. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that's caused the poverty of our worship, the formality and selfishness of our prayers, our neglect of fellowship and the means of grace, and our hesitating witness for Christ. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has led us to misuse your gifts, evade our responsibilities, fail to be good stewards of your creation. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has made us unwilling to overcome evil with good, tolerant of injustice, quick to condemn, and selfish in sharing your love with others. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. Have mercy on us, O God, in your constant love, in the fullness of your mercy, and cleanse us from our sin. Give us the joy of your help again. Amen. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To all who truly repent, this is God's gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. We're going to sing again. And again, I think this is another new hymn that I've chosen that you're not so familiar with. It's in Singing the Faith. It's number 158. So we're going to have one verse played for us, and then we'll stand if we'd like and sing.
I love that hymn, and I chose it particularly because it's the little words that matter, isn't it? So you'll notice as you've gone through the verses that it says, Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders, sometimes speak in whispers, sometimes speak in silence, often speak in scripture, and yet always speak in Jesus. So we're going to hear some words from scripture now, including the words and works of Jesus.
Our scripture reading comes from Matthew 21, 23 to 32. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then do you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowds, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and he went. The father went to the second son and said the same. He answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said the first. Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to the kingdom of God ahead of you."
Lord, you always speak in Jesus, always new, yet still the same. Teach us now more of our Saviour, and make our lives display his name. Amen. If you were at home and someone stormed into your house and started telling your children how to behave, I wonder how you might respond. Or if someone came into church here on a Sunday service and suddenly started preaching uninvited, I wonder how you'd feel. I mean, wouldn't you also ask, who are you and what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you permission to behave like this? This passage in Matthew's Gospel comes just after Jesus has driven out those buying and selling in the temple, overturned the tables in the money changers. There's something going on here. I think it's often very difficult for us today to step into the shoes of Jesus's first audience. I mean, what was he like? What did he sound like? Why did people listen to him? And why did he make some people so angry? Hoping that today's reading might give us some insights into those questions. And I think the key word in today's passage is the word authority. By what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? Authority issues? Anyone know anyone that has authority issues? Anyone here with teenage children? Anyone who's had teenage children might know a little bit about people with authority issues. My children are much older now, but I still remember my middle child, Millie, standing outside her bedroom and yelling at me, "You are not the boss of me!" Authority issues. Authority is something that is running through today's gospel. The chief priests and the elders take issue with Jesus's authority. The two sons challenge their father's authority. Teenagers are not the only ones with authority issues. Those who held power at the time of Jesus, be they Jew or Gentile, religious or Roman, clearly felt threatened by Jesus, by what he said and by how he said it. Remember, these were people under occupation. Authority issues really matter if you're a people under occupation. Jesus obviously stirred people's interest in terms of authority. Mark records that one of the first crowds to hear Jesus were amazed by his natural aura of command. They asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." So he clearly taught in a novel and striking way. Matthew gives us a clue earlier in the Gospels. He says, "For he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes." So 2,000 years, plus a bit maybe, have passed since that incident that we heard about in today's lesson. And yet, in many respects, not much has changed. I was listening to Radio 4 as I was driving here. That tells you a bit about me. Sorry for those of you that are Radio 1 listeners. I'm a Radio 4 listener. And I was listening to issues about our current Prime Minister trying to exert authority as he goes into the conference, the Conservative Party conference. Likewise, the Leader of the Opposition is trying to exert some authority as he goes into his. In the field of politics, of sport, of business, individuals go to great length to cement and extend their authority. Those of us that are in leadership in the connectional team buy books about being a leader. We learn as women to lead with a power stance. There are certain ways you're supposed to stand when you come into a room. We buy books about it. We watch podcasts on it. And that's our usual understanding of the word authority. Maybe the obvious question in today's gospel is whether we recognise and submit to the authority of Jesus and the Father. I tend to think that the obvious questions are not always the questions that are properly hidden within the gospel. Maybe it's such an obvious question that that's not really what's going on. I wonder if, more often or not, we're confused about authority. That we might have misunderstood it to be based on credentials or expertise or a good CV or years of education and accomplishments. Maybe that's particularly true of places like Oxford. We assume that authority comes from outside a person, that somehow it's given to them by circumstances. And in this understanding of authority, some of us have it and some of us don't. What gives you the right to tell me what to do? Or to use that phrase from my daughter, "You're not the boss of me." That represents one of our usual ways of understanding authority issues. We don't like someone else teaching us or correcting us or telling us what to do. By the way, a really great TV show that digs into what authority is properly about. If you want to watch one, I recommend Ted Lasso. It's a fabulous programme, and I'll tell you about it over coffee later if you want to. Anyway, this is what we hear when we hear the challenge of the chief priests and the elders. By what authority are you doing those things? Who gave you that authority? And this is what we see in the refusal of the two sons to go to the vineyard. I'm not going. I think that there's another authority issue at play in today's gospel. I think that issue is about our failure, sometimes our refusal to recognise and claim the authority within us to go into the vineyard. And you'll remember I spoke a little bit about what that vineyard might be for us with that poem at the beginning, the culture in which we live. I'm going to quote now from a book. The book's called A Return to Love, Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles. Don't worry, the quote's much more interesting than the title of the book. It's by a woman called Marianne Williamson. She says this: "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us up. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. It's quite a long quote. It's a famous passage from her book, and it's very often erroneously attributed to Nelson Mandela. Fascinating in itself. Of this misattribution, Williamson said, "As honoured as I would be if President Mandela had quoted my words, I don't think he did. I've no idea where that story came from, but I'm gratified that the paragraph has come to mean so much to so many people." I think this is the authority issue that the gospel is holding before us in Oxford this morning. We have authority. How do we use it? So let me push into that a little bit. If you think God is the boss of you, I think you might have misunderstood authority. I wonder if we could let go of that idea. God is not the boss of you. God is not the boss of me. Let's think a bit about where the word authority comes from. Oxford is a publishing city, isn't it? You've got Oxford University Press and Wiley's and, oh, there are lots of others, aren't there, publishing houses. That the word authority and author share the same root is a given in publishing circles. To become an author, you have to have authority in your subject, and those with authority write books. The trajectory of authorship goes like this. You work to become an expert in a popular topic, then you can write about it. An author and an authority come from the same root. They come from a word that means to invent or promote. There is a quote, and I don't know who said it, that all writing is autobiographical. Whether it's a thesis or a science paper, whether it's a novel or a report to the Methodist Conference, all writing is autobiographical. When I write, I put something of myself into it. I get to cause something. I'm the author, the authority. Here's another quote. If you cannot write well, you cannot think well. And if you cannot think well, others will do your thinking for you. Those words were written by one of the world's best-known commentators on the abuse of power by those in authority, George Orwell. In his novel 1984, Big Brother does the thinking for the citizens. John's Gospel talks about Jesus as the Word. In Acts, Jesus is described as the author of life. Hebrews talks about Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. God is not the boss of us. God is our author. And every day, God authorizes us to enter and sends us into the vineyard to speak and act in this world with authority on God's behalf. We have authority to tell the story and to invite people to step into it. I'm head of mission for the Methodist Church in Britain. Slightly terrifies me when I say that out loud. But one of the things I think we've noticed is that maybe in the past we've been in the habit not so much of telling the gospel story, but rather of telling the story of modernity. Telling a wrong story, where the central metaphor is of humans as machines and not as living beings, part of creation. Maybe we've told a story that's not as true to the author as it should have been. The great story. The love story. That's what mission is. Finding out what God is authoring and co-authoring with God. Or, at the very least, to paraphrase Rowan Williams, who described mission as finding out what God is doing and getting out of the way, maybe we should be finding out what God is authoring and not deleting it. True authority comes from within. It's an interior, God-given quality. That's what the chief priests and the elders failed to understand. I have a hunch that that's why Jesus was just so aggravated with those people. Religious leaders, because they'd chosen to exchange their God-given authority for human power. And sometimes we do that too.
The Methodist Church in Britain has stated itself in conference reports to be desirous to be inclusive, justice-seeking, evangelistic, and growing. Inclusive, justice-seeking, evangelistic, and growing. Our job is to be the authors of that. All authority originates in God, but it's not exclusive to God. God shares God's authority with us. And the authority God shares with us is nothing less than the expression and manifestation of God's life in and through our own. That's why that children's activity earlier was so important. We need to be quiet and still sometimes, to find time to be with the author and allow ourselves to be shaped by them. Above the hubbub of our lives, we sometimes need to be peaceful and quiet to allow God to author authority within us. I want to make one sort of final point, which is that nobody is without authority. And nobody really has more authority than anyone else. The difference isn't that some people have authority and some people don't. That's a worldly interpretation. The difference is that some people recognize and exercise their authority and that others see it in them and some don't. And let's look at where Jesus saw authority. Where did Jesus see God's Spirit? It tells us in the passage, in the tax collectors, in the prostitutes, in the poor, and in the marginalized. That's where God saw authority. Not in the politicians or the sports leaders or the people on Strictly Come Dancing or the rugby players. In the marginalized. Regardless, God knows and sees authority. God's Spirit in us. God sees that this morning in you and in me. And when we can begin to see it, maybe we'll be brave enough to change our minds and go into that slightly scary vineyard of our world. So my invitation to us this morning is to ask you, what's the authority that God has given you? What gifts, what divine attributes has God bestowed on you? And are you living from them? Jesus' authority didn't come because he wore fine robes or had grand-sounding titles. You'll remember that bit where it says, you know, can anything good come from Nazareth? I've been to Nazareth, I understand that phrase. It's not a great place. I come from Whitney. Well, I come from London, but I've been in Whitney a long time. You know, can anything good come from Whitney? It didn't come. Jesus' authority by his physical beauty. There's lots of evidence that he was kind of a bit short and a bit not very good looking, unlike all the images we have of him. He certainly wasn't blonde and blue-eyed. Where Jesus' authority came from was his oneness with God, and ultimately his willingness to lay down even his own life to serve others. So my invitation, in an age obsessed with spin and image, maybe we could let God author us. Let us seek out fellow authors. Fellow authors in the places we might not think of them. And let's see if there are ways in which we could become co-writers, that we might be able to see transformation in the vineyard. Amen. Always think it's good to have a hymn at the end of a sermon. So I've chosen one I hope that is appropriate to you, for you to enable just to think a little bit about that, to think about the words. It's number 565 in Singing the Faith. Only by grace can we enter. Thank you.
We are going to spend a little while in prayer now, in intercessory prayer, and I'm using some words from the Iona community. Holy God, who in Jesus touched the earth, admiring its beauty and blessing its people, we honour you for the gift of life and all the gifts that life brings us. Food, shelter, company, experiences that make us think, people that bring out the best in us. Hear our prayers for the places in this world where beauty has turned to ugliness. Food has been replaced by famine. Friendship has been forgotten. And fear, hostility, and hopelessness have the upper hand. Hear our prayers for people who cannot pray because of pain or loss or worry. For those who will not love themselves and so cannot love their neighbour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear our prayers for ourselves, for our private yearnings, our secret hopes, and any doubt, jealousy, or anger to which we hold too tightly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers for your vineyard, the world in which we find ourselves. For its brokenness to be made whole. For climate justice. For an end to poverty. For a coming of a different world of beloved community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And hear us as we, in whichever version we wish to use, say the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from a time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You will have heard at the beginning of the services, if you were here, in the notices that the All We Can offering that was around last week, I think it was for harvest, is that right? Katie, for harvest. Some people put some money in it and some people didn't and didn't have the opportunity to. So we're just going to have an opportunity to do that again. And then I will say a prayer. So as an offering prayer as we pass around those any of those uncollected envelopes, please do not feel that you are in any way obligated to put anything in this basket that is coming around. It's just an opportunity to sweep things up. I've been thinking a lot about the Lord's Prayer recently, and now every time I say it, it becomes more meaningful to me. I was privileged to go out to the United Methodist Church in America, to Atlanta, over the summer to be part of a group considering and studying the Lord's Prayer in relation to mission. And one of the insights that I brought back to me was the use of the word kingdom, and how the word kingdom is actually quite problematic for people. And wondering whether we should replace the word kingdom with the word kindom. So your kingdom come, an understanding of us as kin folks, rather than the patriarchal and very different way of kingdom language that Jesus was so concerned with in an occupied territory. I'll leave that thought with you. I'd shared that at Chipping Norton Methodist Church 2 weeks ago. I have to say, friends, they didn't like it at all. They like the word kingdom much better. Right, at the offertory. I will say a prayer over these gifts. Gracious and generous God, we have nothing, You have everything. These gifts are just what we give back to you. We thank you that we're able to do that, that you invite us into co-authorship. And we ask you to bless us and these gifts now. In your name, amen. And welcome back. You don't need to stand on the sidelines. I'd have stormed in if I were you. Our final hymn is one that several of us were saying as people were practicing it this morning, reminded us of school. It's "O Jesus, I Have Promised" to the slightly more modern tune. If you can get over the paranoia about school and think of the words in this song and hymn, I encourage you to do so. It will be our worship song that will hopefully be ringing in our ears for the rest of the today. "O Jesus, I Have Promised to Serve You to the End." Houses, the blessing of God. In our coming and our going, the peace of God. In our life and our believing, the love of God. At our end and new beginning, the arms of God to welcome us and bring us home. The Lord bless us and keep us this day and always. Amen. Thank you.